Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
The Republican convention looked like America. Trump concludes with, "Hold on, I'm coming." Well, that's a clear enough message. But then Pavarotti sings, "Nis in Dorma, none shall sleep." Remember that Trump is very intentional about what songs are used. When I open your eyes to the significance of this song, well, I think it's going to make you wonder. But truly, my overall impression of the convention this year was America has got her second wind. Was this an inside job to take out Trump? Bongino won't say no, but he is reserving any definitive comment on this until he has all the facts. Good for him. Well, the facts are rolling in, and it is beginning to look a lot like conspiracy. You're going to want my notes to look at this intriguing expose regarding the second shooter. Oh, yeah, that's been confirmed. There was a second shooter. Joy Behar claims that as someone who was raised Catholic, she can tell us it's very unchristian to survive an event like an assassination attempt and then say something like, "God was watching me." And that spin, by the way, is being spun out all over out there in the deep state propaganda media. Watch out, Christian. That's a ruse. American media is CCP propaganda. And now we have yet more proof as if you needed more. Get a load of this. And the link is in my notes. And my friends, look for a California political earthquake to hit the once golden state in November. Okay, my friends. It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
It's beginning to look a lot like America. The Republican convention looked like America. It hasn't looked this much like America since Reagan. Many things impressed me as we watched the Republican convention. But overall, it felt, smelt, looked, and sounded like America, and I just got the impression that America has got her second wind. And I noticed an emphasis on the message that Jesus Christ is King. The unabashed patriotism of the MAGA movement is awesome. I mean, anyway. But did you notice the message underlying the convention? God is a present help in our time of trouble. We watched it right in front of our eyes when God intervened to protect Trump. Did you see the slow motion video showing that slight turn of Trump's head coordinated with the sound of the shot and the arrival of the bullet? Just like milliseconds apart here before that bullet shot off the top of his right ear. I mean, as one speaker said, we came within a millisecond or a millimeter, if you will, of losing Trump. The shot that hit him was fired at 6:11 Eastern Standard Time. Coincidentally, Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, we can appreciate the protection of God evident in that moment. I should point out that Song 6:11 talks about a garden of nuts in a valley of fruits. So, did you see how a nearby flag had wrapped around the line upon which it was suspended into the shape of an angel? It was awesome. Pretty cool stuff, but take all that for what it's worth. Indeed, like many of you, I pray for Trump every day. And that morning, I noticed the Lord kept prompting me to return to Trump and pray for him some more. And that happened, I think, five different times. While I always pray for his protection, well, that day, I must say, my prayer was concentrated on God opening his mind and his heart to the truth about abortion. My friend, did you know that a flash of light actually occurs when the seed of the man impregnates the egg of the woman? You can see it right here. I've got a link in my notes. The scripture testifies that Jesus is the originator of that light. John 1 verse 4, "In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men." And then verse 9 testifies that Jesus was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then Psalm 139, 13 to 16 actually describes God as being active in the womb at conception and then fashioning the baby according to what he has written in his book. It's just amazing. You ought to read it. It's very clear that from God's point of view, that's human life from conception. And after conception, no arbitrary number of weeks set by any man is going to turn the baby into a human being all of a sudden. The baby is a baby from the moment it's conceived. Intentionally destroying the child by any means from conception forward is an act of murder. Neither President Trump nor J.D. Vance nor myself or any other human being has the power to grant the right to life to a baby in the womb, nor the power to take it away. God gives the baby that right. Our rights come from the endowment of our Creator. And the very first right endowed to us by our Creator is the right to life. And it attaches when life begins. Come on. The abortion question is about whether or not a human life begins at conception, and then whether any man has the right to invade the sanctuary of a mother's womb and destroy the innocent human life there conceived. The answer to those questions is indubitable, and the right conferred to the baby is indefeasible and inalienable, as are all our rights. And by the way, don't confuse the word innocence with sinlessness. I know we're born in sin. These words are not synonyms. You could be a sinner and yet innocent of any crime that would empower the government or man to execute the prerogative divinely decreed in Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Friend, the baby in the womb did nothing worthy of death. You better think about that. Or face the God whose creation you destroyed. So that's what I was praying about that fateful Saturday morning. Not only did the convention look like America in its upbeat tone, but you also saw representatives of Fly Over America in abundance, and I loved it. Wasn't the old elite Aristo country club boys, and it wasn't forced either. Every participant had earned their place on that platform. There were no tokens there. And I noticed something else that I thought was remarkable. Repeatedly, we heard the speakers passionately declare, "Jesus Christ is King." The Bible was quoted or referenced without apology. Statements like that made on a national political stage would in the past have embarrassed Aristo Republicans, but it doesn't embarrass MAGA. As for the Democrats or the Democratics, for whom mentioning God and their platform was a controversy that really amounted to them voting God out, they're going out of their minds right now trying to co-opt God from the Republicans. Hey, Republicans, you can't have God. We have him too. Joy Behar claims that as someone who was raised Catholic, well, she has authority in this matter, and she can tell us that it's very unchristian to survive an event like an assassination attempt and then say something like, "God was watching me." She said it's very narcissistic, self-absorbed, excessive interest and admiration for oneself. Anyway, King David testified that the Lord had helped him and delivered him repeatedly from his enemies. And he said this over and over and over again throughout the Psalms. He said it twice in one psalm that the Lord was on our side. Psalm 124, 1 and 2. Was he being narcissistic? Does Joy Behar know God better than David? Anyway, the whole thing's absurd. Friend, it's a humble acknowledgement of divine intervention. As for the question about why God allowed that precious fireman in the crowd to get shot and die, a man who draped himself over his family to protect them. Corey Comparatore. I understand he's a Christian man, beloved of family and friends. It's an understandable question, Joy. Let me take a shot at it for you. Why did God allow Corey to be killed and Trump to live? Well, I will admit, I really don't know. You'll have to ask God. But Job repeatedly asked about this dilemma of life, and it is a dilemma of life. Jesus once referred to two news items of his day, the sort of thing that might have been reported on The View or some other network. The Galileans, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices, and then this tower that fell and killed 18 people. And he made the point that these people who were killed in this way were not killed because they were sinners above all men that dwelt in the city of Jerusalem at that time. He looked at them and he warned them, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:1-5. The wages of sin is death. We've all earned the wages, for all have sinned. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And our time is always ready. That's what Jesus told his disciples in another place, John chapter 7. He explained to them that his time was not yet. However, their time was always ready. Death by an act of an evil ruler or by some random accident. We don't know when our time is. Corey was ready, though. He died a hero, and his death is meaningful, as was his life. There's little worse than a meaningless life unless it is a meaningless death. This man's testimony helped finish the painting of America presented during the convention. I won't say that's why he was taken, but it is true nonetheless. The picture of America that was painted by that convention reminds me of everything that we value and cherish about America. Here's a man being manly and doing the manly thing of shielding his family. That's an old traditional American value, you think? And get this, loving his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a message this man left with his life. Ephesians 5. And I challenge a group that I meet on Thursday mornings to think about the message of their life. Think about the message of your life. It is an inspirational story that touched millions of lives with a message of the divinely appointed role of men, protectors. It contributed to the sense that America was already coming back right in front of our eyes, but not completely there yet. Not to be unkind at all to the DEI recipients or appointments who were hardly above 5 foot ladies appointed to protect a man that is every bit of 6'4", right? And no doubt a touch or two over 200 pounds. I mean, I'd say appointed to the detail charged with the responsibility to shield the president was just silly. To put women there, not much above 5 feet, it's just ridiculous. Come on. And they looked ridiculous. And I'm not being mean. It looked as ridiculous as I would have looked in that position. One of them cowering in a near fetal position, and then the others bravely but lamely attempting to protect the president, who's almost twice their size. The contrast could not have been more brazen. I mean, you had this man doing the man thing, and then you have these women, by contrast, doing a job they're not suited to do. They would even be really well suited to protect Melania, to be honest with you. At least not the ones that I saw. But anyway, it's not about protecting the life, in this case of President Trump, is it? It's all about DEI, diversity, equity, or is it equality and inclusiveness? Worried about not making somebody feel left out. Now, Trump concluded the evening with, "Hold on, I'm coming." And again, that message is pretty clear. But when Pavarotti sang Nisan Dorma, which translated means none shall sleep, that was kind of odd. The song is used at the end of a film that's titled The Sum of All Fears. It's a 2002 release. And when you consider how intentional Trump is about what songs are used and so on, they definitely have a meaning here. And when you look at this song and consider its context, you really have to wonder. The story is about an Australian neo-Nazi who plans to trigger a nuclear war between the United States and Russia. Really? This guy intends to establish a fascist superstate in honor of Hitler in Europe out of the ashes of World War III. A nuclear weapon is detonated in Baltimore in the story, and a rogue Russian officer attacks a United States aircraft carrier. And so the world's superpowers are pushed to the brink of an all-out nuclear war. Enter Jack Ryan, a Tom Clancy hero. He engages to undo the plot and stop the impending war. So that's the movie. The song that's used at the end of that movie reflects back on its story and its subplot and so on. And I can't go into greater detail than I have. You could do some research and sort all those little details out. I want to give you the gist of this. Pavarotti sang beautifully in Italian this song that I'm going to translate for you into English. Now, Calaf is the unknown prince in this song who's singing. None shall sleep, none shall sleep. You too, princess, in your cold room. You watch the stars, trembling of love and hope. But the mystery of me is locked inside of me. No one will know my name. And then, no, no, I will say it on your mouth when the light will shine. And my kiss will melt the silence that makes you mine. And then the choir sings, no one will know my name, and we will unfortunately have to die, die. And then Calaf, the unknown prince, continues. Leave, O night, set stars. Set stars at sunrise, I will win, I will win, I will win. Is there a plot to embroil the world in a world war between America and Russia? Will this prince step in to unravel the plot, expose it, and stop it? Well, that's very interesting. When I get back, I'll bring you up to speed on what really went down in Butlertown. I'll be right back.
Satan wants you to believe the world belongs to him and that you, Christian, have no say and no place in it. But the secret is out. Jesus is king, and all mankind are his subjects. Satan has no right to rule an inch of territory in the earth. Learn how to claim the earth for Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain bazoor, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Was this an inside job, that is, the assassination attempt orchestrated by the Biden administration for the or the deep state, or in coordination with the deep state to take out Trump? Now, Bongino won't say no, but he is reserving any commitment on the question until all the facts are in, and that's a good thing to do. The facts are rolling in and is beginning to look a lot like conspiracy. I'm not calling it. I'm just bringing you up to speed on the current status of the investigation. Did the deep state crooks use crooks in an attempt to take out Trump? Are we going to find out this was a pre-rehearsed hit? An inside job? Like the JFK thing, you know? You're going to want my notes to look at this intriguing expose regarding the second shooter. But let's start here. Senator Josh Hawley writes this condemning letter to Mayorkas. Quote, "Whistleblowers who have direct knowledge of the event have approached my office. According to the allegations, the July 13 rally was considered to be a loose security event," end quote. Okay. Excuse me? They designated the Trump rally a loose security event? Huh. The letter went on. Quote, "For example, detection canines were not used to monitor entry and detect threats in the usual manner. Individuals without proper designations were able to gain access to backstage areas. Department personnel did not appropriately police the security buffer around the podium and were also not stationed at regular intervals around the event's security perimeter. In addition, whistleblower allegations suggest the majority of DHS officials were not, in fact, USSS agents, but instead drawn from the department's Homeland Security investigations." Excuse me? "This is especially concerning given that HSI agents were unfamiliar with the standard protocols typically used at these types of events, according to the allegations," end quote. Now, what's going on here? And then what's this? You got some chick sitting in the stands behind Trump, and she's a pretty cool customer. She does not so much as flinch when the shots were fired, at least the portion of the tape that I saw. And Trump was hit. She just sits there calmly. And then she starts taking pictures when Trump goes down with her iPhone. And the point, you look at this thing, and she looks like she's all calm about it. She's not upset. One guy posted this clip claiming that this woman is the assistant director of the FBI, Janine DeGuesby or something, DeGuiseppe or whatever. But looking closely at a picture of the deputy assistant that this guy provided, by the way, and comparing it with the face I'm looking at in the picture that this guy provided, I'm not convinced. The face is not shaped the same, in my opinion. I know photos can sometimes be a little funny. Yeah, she has a vague sort of corresponding resemblance. But anyway, so let's take a look, right? And of course, we always run this kind of stuff down. And we all trust Snopes, not. But it is a good idea to look and see what they're saying as some of these other fact checkers. At least then you kind of get an inside on what the prepared response is to some of this stuff that goes around. And you can look at it for yourself and make your own judgment about it. Still, what in the world is this girl thinking? And who is she? And what in the world is Jasmine Crockett, Democrat, Texas, thinking to repost her earlier calls to remove Secret Service protection from Trump? Right? She posts this after the assassination attempt? I think she indicated something to the effect she would save us the trouble of digging it up. So here, I think that's what she's doing. But still, maybe an apology or some admission that you were wrong about that might be in order. She wanted him to go to jail without Secret Service protection. That's right. I'm not kidding. That's what she wanted. Hey, we found a second shooter. What? Yeah. Pittsburgh police confirmed earlier suspicions that were triggered by the discovery of a police barricade around a second shooter site, a water tower. That, interestingly, is lined up so that if a shot was taken there, it could feel like, look like, and so on, that it came from the original shooter site. So what contributes to conspiracy theories? How do conspiracy theories get fed and grow? And my theory is that when such a theory becomes a kind of established lore, then probably it's grounded in some truth. So what contributes to conspiracy theories, or how is it that governments actually serve to contribute to them? While you think about that, ask yourself how many theories have proved to be facts during the last almost 8 years. I mean, really, it could go on back to JFK and his assassination. Here's a sort of thing that feeds conspiracy theories. You have the HSS director, responsible for POTUS security and for Trump security, telling us that the reason they did not place a counter-sniper unit on the building in question was concern about its slope. Now, that's the dopiest thing I think I've ever heard. That's almost a sure tell and a giveaway. We must assume all the police and SS officers, Secret Service officers, had radio, had phones, had connections, had the little squirty wire and a bug in their ear, or a more sophisticated means of communication. They were all wired to communicate with one another, right? Really? I mean, come on. But Trump was not removed immediately when the shooter was spotted on the roof. And I've heard estimates from 9 to 27 minutes. Anyway, I think it's something like 9 minutes. The fact that this guy was spotted and marked as suspicious earlier, I'm told an hour before the shooting took place, and SS, Secret Service, or police did not insist or relay a message to his detail that they should delay his appearance until the threat was neutralized. Isn't that what, that just common sense would tell you that, but I know these guys don't have much of that, so you have to ask. The fact that apparently no ladder was on the scene opens questions of how the shooter got on the roof with his weapon. It is thought he used an AC unit to get on the roof, and that might go along with the testimony of one eyewitness that said he was doing the crawl thing to get up on the roof, which confused me. I didn't know how that would work, but anyway. It is thought now that he used an AC unit that's nearby that building to get onto the roof, which demands the answer to the question, why would this be overlooked? Why wasn't there a post there? Why wasn't that somehow neutralized? The counter-sniper unit posted on the roof behind Trump testifies that he had the shooter sighted 3 minutes before shots were fired. Now, 3 minutes before shots were fired, these guys are all plugged in together on the chatter, I think. Or at least one of them should have been. So you got 3 minutes where somebody said, we got an active shooter on a roof here. I've got him in my sights. And the Secret Service doesn't stand up and tell Mr. President, we've got to get down here. There's a possible active shooter, whatever. They do nothing. The fact that Jill scheduled an event in Pennsylvania for the same day and time, and that this could very well have been used to pull assets away from Trump's protective detail. The explanation that the building was marked as a threat and because of a lack of resources, it was assigned to be covered by local Butler police to protect it. Who gathered on the second floor of the building rather than on the roof? I mean, no one thought to post someone in the yard around the building and also on the roof. The police department didn't have enough people to go around. And why were Crook's parents on the day of the shooting reporting to the police that their 20-year-old son was missing? He'd only been gone a few hours. What's that about? They told the officer receiving their call that they were worried about him. And what's this about, a second shooter? I mean, this is getting more and more like Shades of Kennedy, right? Multiple shooters, all these angles, whatever. Pictures of a police barricade around a water tower that lines up behind the shooter's position with a clear line of fire to the Trump platform raise some suspicions that have now been confirmed by the Pittsburgh police, and that is that there is a second shooter. Why would a guy like Crooks, if you've seen his picture, 20 years old, why would he have multiple foreign encrypted phones? Now get ready for the Iran did it angle. I'm just saying, I'm more on that Saturday night. Or the Russians did it. Can you hear Pavarotti singing? Yeah, it's just getting weirder every day. We'll go over it some more Saturday night around 8 p.m. I'm going to share some encouraging news about developments toward a California shakeup in November. And I want to give you this. My friend and colleague, Andrew St. Wilson, is an American poet. And I mentioned his book on the show before, and I encourage you to get it. He sent me a poem he was actually slated to read at the convention, but through some snafu, he wasn't able to make it. His poem, however, was being circulated among patriots there, and he sent me a copy. I'm going to read it. An American Tragedy. End of Innocence, 1963. Killed a president named Kennedy. Blood was shed, a leader was dead. Sunny skies often tell lies. Evening sun, calamity had begun. Standing there as bullets pierced the air, missed the target, grazed his ear. Libs have thrown everything at him, a warrior within, the will to win. His face laced with blood, hit the floor with a thud. Shots fired at 6:11. In seconds, Secret Service stepped in. Would-be assassin lay dead in his sin, was surely in hell before 6:12. King of Kings, this shining image of Jasper, inspired words for here and after. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Those bullets were not meant for Trump. He just happened to be in the way. Leftists aim at us every day. Want to control everything we do or say. Blood-drenched face, hands, and shirt. He was hit. He was hurt. Like a phoenix, he rises. No surprises. His fist raised above the horizon. Every prayer that was ever said, answered when he turned his head. Anointed ones don't wind up dead. Winners never surrender. Fight, fight, fight. I've lit the lamps at the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.